It is so good to see everybody here this morning, and Happy New Year to you. It is the beginning of a new year. I hope that, and I pray during this new year that, first of all, that we will draw closer to each other as brethren in the body of Christ, and that each of us will draw closer to our God in our relationship with Him. I would like to also take this time to thank you for the gift that you gave to my wife and I a few weeks ago. It was very kind of you, but the card and the love that you have shown to us is what is really a great treasure to us. I cannot begin to tell you how much you mean to us as a congregation, as our brethren, as our friends. I count myself to be greatly blessed to be your preacher and to be one of your elders. As I said, it is my only hope and my only desire to get closer to each of you this year, and then for us to get closer to our God together. So it's the new year. So what are your resolutions? Maybe. I might actually get in shape. Yeah, okay. So how many of you are already planning your diet after those wonderful feasts that we had? How many of you are already trying to slow down and actually maybe eat a piece of fruit? How many of you are planning on actually going to exercise again? How many of you have actually gone to the extent of buying exercise equipment about this time of the year only to put it in a yard sale a few months later? Actually, that is something I can relate to, because I've actually done that. I've actually bought things that I saw on television. I said, oh, Joe Montana, all right. And I exercised with it, paid money for it, exercised with it for a couple of weeks, and put it in a yard sale. All right, if this is what kind of resolutions you're going to be making in the new year, that's all fine and good. But I want to talk with you about something that's far more important. And this is what I'm hoping that you'll resolve to do in the new year, and that is to grow in spiritual discipline. We're going to start the sermon this morning by going over to Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. Here, the Apostle Paul, speaking about himself, talks about the problem that we human beings face. And that is, it's not that we don't understand what good is and what's right and wrong. We just struggle doing it. I have found in my life, it's not so much that I have to convince you what the truth is, as it is encouraging you and I to do what we already know and believe the truth to be. And the Apostle Paul here is speaking about that. In the context here, he's talking about how the law of God, how it's perfect, and it's pointing out to him the sin that's in his life, and he sees the struggle that he has. Now, you've got to understand, this is what the Apostle Paul is speaking about himself here when he says, for the will is present with me. That's a personal pronoun. That's Paul talking about himself. Paul's being honest with Paul. Wayne needs to be honest with Wayne. And you need to be honest with you. This describes you. This describes me. And he asked the question, how to perform what is good I do not find. Notice this next verse from James chapter 4, verse 17. It says, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Again, the context here, it is not that you don't know what good is. You understand what good is. You understand about loving your neighbor as yourself. You understand about helping people in need and bearing one another's burdens and being there for one another. You understand all those verses. It's just a matter of doing it. And so even though you may understand what good is, when you don't do what is right, you're sinning. And then over in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Matthew chapter 26, then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Here, Jesus basically goes to the very heart of the matter, because in the context here, the disciples and the apostles had all told him that we're not going to forsake you. We will die with you, is what Peter says. I'll die with you, but I'm not going to deny you. Every one of them meant that. The spirit was willing. But here's the problem. The flesh is weak. And so a lot of times we will sit down and we will recognize where we are, and we will make all these resolutions about change, and our spirit is willing and our intentions are there, but in the end, we don't do anything. There's no change. Jay was talking about this in Bible class, how sometimes the most difficult thing is just really facing up to where we are, and once you face up to where you are, doing something about it. It is not that sometimes we're not aware of where we are. We just rather not look at it and think about the problem. We'd rather kind of stuff it away in a closet and not really look at it and think about it, rather than put it in front of us and say, okay, now deal with it. We may have good intentions, but the flesh is weak. All these verses are describing the same thing. Don't you realize that? All the verses are describing the struggle that we have of carrying out in our life what our good intentions are. I love the way this put this in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23. All hard work brings a profit. The mere talk leads only to poverty. What a great verse. Mere talk. You can talk about losing weight all you want, but guess what? You don't lose weight talking about it. You can talk about getting into physical condition all you want, but guess what? Talking about it is not going to help your body get in physical condition. And you can talk about all the things you're going to do in your life spiritually, but talk is cheap. And talk is not going to attain to anything. You got to do it. All hard work produces a profit. What you see here is the difference between talking about doing something and actually doing it. What we're going to try to study this morning is how to do it. In James chapter 1, he says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But when he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Now, I know for a fact the vast majority of you looked in a mirror this morning. You know how I know? Because your hair looks right. You've shaved. You have your clothes on. Somebody looked in the mirror, and when you looked in the mirror, nobody this morning said, "That's not me." You saw what was in front of you, the reality of where you were physically, and you dealt with it. You tried to change what you were seeing. Could you imagine looking in the mirror and then going and walking away a little bit and saying, "Well, I think everything looked fine." And you just basically forget what you saw in the mirror. Now, what we're trying to talk about here is looking into the Word of God. Because when you look into the Word of God, it is going to function as a mirror spiritually to where you can see who and where you really are. And what you're going to see, not going to be good sometimes. Matter of fact, most of the time, what you're going to see, if you're honest with yourself, are the spiritual flaws that do exist in your life. The worst thing we can do is close our eyes to the spiritual flaws and act like they're not there. Closing our eyes and sweeping them to the side and hoping maybe they'll just go away. We have to face up to the reality of where we are spiritually and deal with it. Actually, deal with it and do something about it. Start trying to bring about spiritual change in our life. True repentance. not just good intentions, not just talking about it, but honest, true repentance and change spiritually. Look at what Paul said about himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. We're going to spend a bit of time on this. This is what Paul talked about, what he had to do. He disciplined his body. Another word for this sometimes is self-control. Now, one of the words we're going to be talking about later on that you're supposed to be adding to your faith is self-control. That's the idea that you actually control yourself to where when you will to do something, guess what? You do it. And when you intend to do something, guess what? You do it. And when you talk about doing something, guess what? You do it. It's not just talking about it, wanting to do it, willing to do it, thinking about doing it. It's doing it. And what Paul talked about, what he had to do was discipline his body and bring it into subjection. Bringing your own body into subjection? Why do you have to bring your body into subjection? Because you're going to talk yourself out of doing what you know you need to do. That's what we do. We understand what we need to do, and then we sit there and we start trying to convince ourselves, well, I'll get to that later on. Or I can't do that, and then we come up with, because of all the excuses. So therefore, I can't change. So therefore, I don't need to change. So therefore, everything's okay. You see the process? Face reality. Bring the body into subjection. That's the idea. When I say do something, in my mind, my body goes, okay. And my body carries out what I'm willing to do. Bringing myself into control to where I'm actually controlling what's happening. You ever almost sometimes feel like you're an outsider watching yourself? To where you're doing things, and you're like, is this really me doing this? Yeah. Yeah, it's you. So you have to bring yourself under control. You have to practice self-discipline. And there's the key. But notice the last part of the verse. He's talking about lest after he's preached to others, he becomes disqualified. Could you imagine the Apostle Paul going to hell? Because he didn't practice what he preached. Because he didn't live what he knew the truth to be. Please realize, we can be disqualified even though we've obeyed the gospel and coming to worship services if we're not doers of the word and hearers only. If you're not doing it and all you do is hear it, it's not going to do you any good. It's the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and is a doer of it, actually carrying it out, is going to be the one that's going to be blessed in his life and in the life to come. To do that requires me disciplining myself to do it, to just do it. We're going to spend now a lot of time here on this next text. 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 10. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. This was a text that Nathan used the other day in an invitation. I'm going to come back to it. Because it is an extremely important text. Because in this text, what we see laid out for us are the Christian attributes that we need to be working at diligently to be growing in continually. First of all, hopefully you've got faith. Because that is the key to your whole relationship with God, is your faith. And to that faith, you add virtue, the strength to do what's right. And then to that virtue, you add a knowledge of God's word. Now then, how many of you know already, you need to be growing in your knowledge of the Bible? Everybody knows that. How many of you sometimes say, I'm going to read the Bible more? Good. All right. Good. Now do it. Don't just talk about reading the Bible more. Don't just think about reading the Bible more. Don't just will it for a while. Do it. Now, when you start doing this, let me ask you, what's going to happen in life? What's going to happen is everybody's going to say, Wayne. And it may not even be people. It may be the grass. It may be my leaves. It may be the weeds in my garden. It may be the disorder in my office. And it says, Wayne. You're going to be juggling. And all these things are going to be warning your time and your attention. And so all of a sudden, you go, yes, but I ain't got time for the Word of God anymore. Okay. You see how that works? That's how it happens. We talk about doing something, and then other things come in and just eat that time up. You have to become disciplined to where it becomes a habit, to where you're going to do it, understood you're going to do it, regardless of what happens in the day, regardless of all the different things that are going to be changing around you. You're just going to have to spend time opening the Bible. Talking about it isn't going to do it. Thinking about it isn't going to do it. You got to actually do it. Next verse. To knowledge, here it is, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. Is there anybody here this morning that's got the self-control of Jesus? No. Is anybody here this morning that's got the patience of Jesus? No. Our entire life is spent trying to be more like Jesus. And so if you're wanting to have a New Year's resolution, let this verse be your New Year's resolution. Understanding, I need to be adding to my faith. I need to be growing in my self-control. I need to be growing in my patience. I need to be growing in my brotherly love. And then you work at these continually, daily, every day. Have any of you ever gone to actually work with somebody that teaches you how to exercise? Rather than do it yourself, when I do it myself, I walk on the treadmill. And I walk on the treadmill. And after that, I walk on the treadmill. My legs are doing really good, but my arms look like pizzas and noodles. Whenever you work with someone who's going to teach you how to do it, they say, okay, now work on this muscle. Muscle? Just one? Now work on this muscle. Now work on, and they just go down the line. And they give you all these different exercises that you got to do to get in shape physically. We're talking about getting in shape spiritually. And so you're going to have to work on self-control, realizing, I got work to do. You're going to have to work on your patience and realize, I got work to do. And you're going to have to go to each and every one of these, not just one of them, as you pointed out the other day. It's not just one. It's got to be all of them, working on all of them continually, realizing the task is never done. You're never going to reach a certain stage and you say, okay, I got enough now. I don't need to do this anymore. Have any of you ever actually gone to the effort of exercising and gotten in shape? I had to do it when I played basketball. My coach didn't give me an option. But when you quit exercising, what happens? You lose it quick. And so you may look good, you may look great, but it's gone. It goes away fast. The same thing is true spiritually. The reason I'm telling you this is because if you think all you have to do now is put it on cruise control, and everything's fine because you've attained the level you want to get to, you need to realize when you stop going forward and stop growing, you start going backward. It is a continual process of growing more and more like Jesus till we're dead. He says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're trying to get to. You're never going to attain to the fullness of Christ in any of these. But you can get to the point to where they're in you and abounding, to where you're abounding in self-control, abounding in patience, abounding in love. He goes on further and he says in verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never, look at this, stumble. That is, you're going to make it to heaven. This should be our New Year's resolution. You want to lose weight? Okay, go ahead. You want to exercise? Okay, go ahead. You ain't got to do it either. You want to eat that pie? Go ahead. But let me tell you something, brethren. You won't make it to heaven without this. You won't make it to being with God without this. And if you want to make sure you don't stumble to where you're down on the ground, you quit running the race and you're lost because of that, you need to be working on these continually. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27 says, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become disqualified. He's using the metaphor of the race here. And the idea is, I got to stay on top of this, and I got to stay on top of this continually to make sure I go to heaven. I don't want to be disqualified. I don't want to, in the end, be lost. Now then, if I were going to pick one particular phrase that often has become my phrase by which I try to grow as a Christian, it's this phrase right here, and you should probably already know this by now, little by little. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Exodus 23:30, little by little I will drive them out before you. And then again over in Proverbs 13:11, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Those are the two verses where you find that phrase, little by little. If you're wanting to save money, you're not going to save it in big chunks because it takes a lot to survive. But if you will set aside little by little, diligently, continually, guess what happens? It grows. This is the way in which we grow as Christians. You're not going to grow in your knowledge of the Word of God in leaps and bounds. You're going to grow in your knowledge of the Word of God by studying it diligently, continually, little by little. I told y'all the story of a preacher I once knew who could quote the entire Bible. I saw him one time teach from Colossians. And I do believe, if I'm not lying, that his Bible was upside down. But he was quoting everything. I was told that one time in a Bible class he was teaching Obadiah, and the wind blew the door open, and he walked over to the door to close the door and kept on going. And then they realized he's not reading from Obadiah, he's quoting the entire book. I knew this man, he was a friend of mine, and one time in a gospel meeting, when we were eating together, I asked him, you must memorize scriptures daily, a long time every day. How much time do you spend with the scriptures? You know what he told me? 30 minutes a day. I was shocked. I said, you only spend 30 minutes a day in Bible memory work? He said, yes, Wayne, but this is what he told me. He said, you got to understand, I do it every day. And he had been doing it every day for decades. And after decades of doing it every day, he told me he had to get to the point where he would just go back and keep going over everything he'd already learned. But as a consequence, he could go to any part of the Bible and quote the whole thing. He didn't get there in big leaps and bounds. He got there little by little on a daily, consistent basis. That's the way you and I are going to grow as Christians. Not in big leaps and bounds. Little by little. On a continual basis. And the key word is continual. And that's the problem, isn't it? Oh, we get on fire for a little while, and we're reading our Bible, and we're doing real good for a week or two, and then right back in the same old rut of putting it on the shelf and not reading it at all. And right back into the same old spiritual ruts that are a normal person, to where we're looking at ourselves and we see where we are, and there's no change whatsoever. We are expected to be changing continually. Repentance is a linear process of changing to become more like Jesus Christ today than you were yesterday. Please understand that. It is a continual process of going forward rather than just looking at it and doing nothing about it. We have to have the discipline to carry out in our body what we're willing to do in our mind and our heart. We've got to have self-control to where we don't just do it for a day or two or a week or two. It becomes a life pattern. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a habit to where it's understood, I'm going to do this regardless, period. And I'm going to work on me and try to polish me to be more like Jesus, period. Every single day. And I'll tell you what, if we will try to grow as Christians little by little, and we're doing it continually, there will come a time when these Christian attributes are in you and abounding. And when they are in you and abounding, you will not stumble and you will make it to heaven. And you got to do it diligently. Romans 12 says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Look at these adjectives here. Look how they're describing this. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Continuing steadfastly, fervent. Diligent. Do you see those words as describing our lives as Christians? It's not casual. It's not hit and miss. It's not now and then. It's always. It's continual. Going back to 2 Peter, he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Back here in Romans, not lagging in diligence. Dropping down to verse 10, but even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Do you see how in all three of those verses you find the same word, and that is diligence? When you're diligent, you're on top of it, and you can't stay on top of it, and you don't get off of it. You give it all you've got all the time. Christianity is not a casual relationship with God. You know what I'm going to say next because I've told you before. It's an all-consuming relationship with God to where it is your life. And your entire life has got to be spent diligently working at it, staying on top of it, giving it all you've got. We read earlier in verse 12, continuing steadfast in prayer. Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. Ephesians talks about in chapter 5, verse 16, redeeming the time. All right, let's put these all together. Spend time in the Word of God, strengthening your prayer, strengthening your knowledge of the Word of God, growing and spending more time talking to God in prayer, letting God speak to you through His Word. That's how you get closer to God. You draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. You want to get closer to God this year, you go to the Word of God and let God speak to you. You speak to God in prayer, and you're strengthening your relationship with your God. You're getting closer to Him. Hebrews 11:6. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Those who come to God must believe that He is. The verse does not say, and He's a rewarder of those who casually seek Him. diligently seek. Anybody here ever play hide and seek? Don't ask me to play with you. You will not find me. My grandchildren asked me just last week, Papa, play hide and seek with us. I was like, you don't know what you're asking. I will hide in places that you will think he can't be in there. So there's no reason in looking in there. And that's where I'm hiding. So if you're going to seek after me, you're going to seek me and seek me and seek me and seek me. That's what the word seek means. It's not casual look. Have you ever lost something that was important to you? And then you look and you look. Have you ever gone back to a place that you've already looked at three times? And you go back and you look there again. I have. That's seeking. Look at the words here that are being used. Diligently seeking. Not casually looking. It is giving it all you got to find God. If you give it all you've got diligently, continually, day by day, little by little, pressing on, going forward, you're going to make it. Seek and you will find. But you got to seek. And you got to seek diligently. It cannot be casually. We'll close with Galatians 6, 9, and 10. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not lose heart. I got some bad news for you. I'm going to tell you reality. Guess what's coming in the new year? You're going to blow it. There you are. I've been telling you how to get closer to God. Telling you how to grow as a Christian. In reality, I'm sorry, you're going to blow it. So what do you do after you blow it? Do you throw up your hands and say, I quit. I messed up. I didn't grow today. Or I went backwards today. Or I did something terribly wrong today. What Satan wants you to do is stay on the ground. Stay down. Don't get up. Do not get back into the race. When you mess up, take it to God. Ask forgiveness of it. And get back into the race. Press on all the way to the close of your life. You cannot allow the trials and the problems and the suffering of this life, and you cannot even allow yourself in the moments when you blow it to cause you to throw up your hands and quit. He says, in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There will come a time in our future race when we will cross the finish line in Christ to be with him. We'll close with 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Look at some of these words here. Steadfast. You can't be budged. And even though Satan hits you again and again and again, and you may lose a battle, you get up and you become immovable. You can't be moved by the world. You can't be moved by the sufferings. You can't be moved by the trials. You're going to stay faithful to God always. Look at the word abounding. Are you seeing the common denominator between all these words I've been showing you? Diligently, abounding. Never does he talk about do a little bit, pray a little bit, read the Bible just a little bit. No, it's diligently, always diligently, and abounding. your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You're not wasting your time doing something that's really not going to help you. Now, if you want to lose weight, okay. But in the end, it's not going to help you go to heaven. And you can try to exercise all you want this year. Fine, good. You know what Paul said about that? He said, bodily exercise only profits a little. It may help you a little bit. You may live a little bit longer, okay. But he said, godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. When you exercise yourself to godliness, when you exercise yourself to grow spiritually, when you see where you are and you press on and you're trying to change yourself spiritually with a continual process of repentance, continually changing to be more like Jesus today than you were yesterday, that's not a waste of your time. That's the most important thing you can do in your life, because it will affect the life that now is, and you will not stumble. Because you are growing to the point to where it's in you and abounding, you will go to heaven. Not only is it profitable for the life that now is, it's profitable for the one to come. You'll go to heaven. Now that's a good New Year's resolution. I appreciate your kind attention. If there's anybody here this morning who is not a member of the one body, and you honestly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you are willing to openly confess your faith and motivated by your faith, make the commitment of repentance, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the one body for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God already, and as you examine yourself and you look at yourself spiritually from the Word of God, when you see the mirror and you see where you are you on the ground? Have you quit running the race? Are you entangled in sin? If the answer is yes, get up. Get untangled from the sin. Repent of it and get back into the race, pressing on toward the goal. Pressing on and little by little, consistently, diligently, adding to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and self-control, all the Christian attributes. Continue diligently to try to be more like Jesus. When you sin, you ask God's forgiveness. And you get up and you get back into the race and you press on. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can as your spiritual family to help you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.